Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin has been killed. Rabin was shot to death as he was leaving a peace rally in Tel Aviv. Police have arrested an Israeli Jew, a man in his 20s who is said to be a member of a little-known right-wing extremist group. The alleged gunman is identified as Yigal Amir. According to Israeli television, he is a law student at Bar-Ilan University who had been involved in right-wing causes. Government spokesman Uri Dromi said that a Jewish organization, which is anti-government and against the peace process, took responsibility. He said the group identified the gunman as acting for them. President Clinton was at the White House when he received the news. The president said he is outraged by the assassination, and NPR's John Greenberg says the president plans to make a statement within the hour.
A few minutes after word was received that Rabin had died, National Security Advisor Tony Lake went and told the president Mr. Clinton was extremely saddened. That's what a spokesman said. Right now, Tony Lake is staying in touch with our ambassador in Israel, Martin Indyk, and also with Secretary of State Warren Christopher. The focus at the moment is simply on getting the facts. That's what we're told. They are not at the point of deciding what any policy issues right now. Just Tony Lake is there trying to pull together what information is available.
Secretary of State Warren Christopher has also been notified. Israeli Foreign Minister Shimon Peres is now acting prime minister. He was only yards away from Rabin when the prime minister was shot. He quickly convened Israel's cabinet ministers for a special morning session. Morning in Israel, the ministers vowed the government would carry on Rabin's policies of peace. An eyewitness to the shooting said Rabin was coming down a set of stairs after speaking at the peace rally in Tel Aviv when three shots rang out. The eyewitness said Rabin doubled over, holding his stomach, and fell to the ground. He was said to be covered in blood. Rabin was then rushed to a Tel Aviv hospital. Yoram Lav, a member of the Israeli parliament, said Rabin's assassination is a horrible tragedy. Lav said it is hard to believe that this has happened, adding, "My heart is broken." Yitzhak Rabin was 73 years old, the former chief of the army, who shared the Nobel Peace Prize in 1993 for his agreement with PLO leader Yasser Arafat last year. He signed a treaty with Jordan after 46 years of belligerency. And it was Rabin who led Israel to victory in 1967 in the Six-Day War with Jordan, Egypt, and Syria. 2 years ago, when Rabin shook Arafat's hand on the White House lawn, he was at once praised by supporters for his bold leadership and reviled by critics for selling out the cause of Israel. Repeating, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin has been assassinated. He was shot to death by a man said to be in his 20s and a member of a right-wing extremist organization, an Israeli Jew. You're listening to NPR News.
But there are so many unknowns right now of how this is going to affect the Israeli political scene. I think it's certainly, as Walt Rogers said, some time back, the kind of thing, it was like shouting fire in a crowded theater, all of the invective that was moving about inside Israeli society and Israeli politics moving up to this election, and most of it centered on the whole issue of the peace process. The invective finally spurred someone to take dreadful action and kill the man who was leading this peace process inside the Israeli political system. So I think, as Walt said, I think that that may calm that kind of invective and quiet those who are trying to shout fire in a crowded theater. But certainly all of this has got to be seen yet. Certainly sadness and shock reported here on the part of Secretary of State Warren Christopher, who was so close to Prime Minister Rabin.
Steve, can you tell us anything about the relationship that has existed between Shimon Peres and Yasser Arafat?
Well, these men have met continually over the past months and years as they've been trying to work out the whole issue of the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. So they know each other very well. They know each other and they trust each other, I believe. And I think perhaps their relationship may be as warm as that is Arafat's and the slain prime minister.
Walt Rogers is in Israel. Walt, tell us about the mood of the country, please.
Gene, I couldn't help but be struck watching those pictures of Yasser Arafat deliver his condolences to Yitzhak Rabin's family. Mr. Rabin was perhaps reluctant at the start of this peace process. He didn't like Yasser Arafat. He didn't trust him. And then to see Mr. Arafat delivering those condolences, you knew over the past few months that the relationship between Mr. Rabin and Mr. Arafat had become closer. I think Mr. Arafat's condolences were heartfelt and very sincere. And if I might add a word or two about the peace process, there has been much anxiety tonight about where it will go, whether it will continue. It seems to me that it has to continue, one, because Shimon Peres is now acting prime minister, and he is the principal architect of peace. He was even more enthusiastic at the outset than Mr. Rabin. But even more importantly, to stop the peace process now, to stall it, would be to reward and vindicate the assassins, the opponents of peace. The peace process did not stop in January and in Beit Lid when extremist Islamic suicide bombers killed 22, 23, 24 Israelis on a bus. It stalled it temporarily, but the Israelis continued. I don't think the Israelis have any alternative now but to continue this peace process when one of their own extremists struck so terribly. Terror cannot be rewarded on either side, and when the terror comes from Israelis opposed to the peace process, you cannot reward those right-wing extremists by stopping it. Furthermore, this peace process, as signed in Washington a few months ago, Oslo II, is probably irreversible. It has a built-in mechanism. It has to proceed. Gene? Wolf, what are your views?
Well, Walt, I've been watching and monitoring, covering the Middle East, I guess most of my journalistic career, more than 20 years. And I must say that this moment right now is given the fact that I've covered wars and the peace process, it's a moment, it's potentially a defining moment in Israel to see how the people of Israel will react to what has happened. I'm sure there is outrage across the board, with the exception of a tiny fringe element who believed that Prime Minister Rabin was a traitor to Israel, a traitor because he was willing to give up what they would regard as ancient Jewish soil, Judea and Samaria, the West Bank of Israel, because he was willing to make these kinds of territorial concessions and potentially, if there were a peace agreement with Syria, to give up at least part, maybe even all of the Golan Heights. There is a tiny element in there, but even the mainstream of the opposition, the Likud leadership under Benjamin Netanyahu and others, I'm sure, are going to be shocked and outraged by this, to the point that, at least in the short term, I agree with you completely, there will be this coalescence, there will be this moving together, given the fact that what has been created now from within the opposition, apparently as a result of this lone gunman who got close enough to Prime Minister Rabin in Tel Aviv this evening, what has been created, people are going to have to take stock of where Israel is today in order to come to some grips with the direction of that country.
Wolf, I have a question for you, though. Where can Israel go politically but forward with this peace process? To stop, to stall, would be to vindicate the right-wing extremists. And what can Mr. Netanyahu do? What can the Likud do? Say, stop, this is enough, we don't...
Well, there will be, and we're losing Walt Rogers right now. We have some technical problems with our satellite, but there is no doubt there will be an election in Israel coming up within a year, and the people of Israel will have to decide whether they want to go forward with the Labor government's vision of a negotiated territorial settlement with the Palestinians, potentially with the Syrians, or whether they will go with the Likud and we resist that kind of initiative.
Israel TV's second channel identifies the gunman as Yigal Amir, a law student at Bar-Ilan University who had been involved in right-wing causes. The TV said Amir has links to the far-right group Eyal. A government spokesman says an anti-government Jewish organization claimed responsibility.